Praise God. We're going to take these to the Lord here in just a moment. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Praise God. The evidence of things not seen. Verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. Amen. And we want to continue to, amen, learn a little bit about our faith. Praise the Lord. And what faith is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, Lord, for hearing our prayers and for helping us, for being here, to being present in this place here tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch every heart and every soul. I pray, God, that you would minister, God, to every individual here tonight. God, let your word go forth and do a work, Lord, and that it would not return void, and that it would be mixed with faith tonight. I pray, God, for the Galindo family. I pray that you would touch them and help them in their time of loss. I pray, God, that you would somehow or another open up a door of utterance, God, and that you could lead that family unto you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your touch so far upon Brother Keith. We are praying, God, for a complete healing. Lord, that you would reach down into his body and that you would touch him, raise him up, heal him, heal his body. God, give him full recovery in Jesus' name. God, touch Brother Charlie, touch Sister Tiffany, Sister Roxanna tonight. Praying, God, that you would touch them in the sickness, that you would heal their bodies, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All of those that are not here tonight, I'm praying, God, that you would touch them and be with them. God, whether it would be work, whether it would be schooling, I pray, God, that your hand would help them in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith. Amen. We sing about it even as a little kid. And we start singing different songs about faith, and we get up into sanctuary and we start singing faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Yeah, some of you still remember that song, huh? You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. Hallelujah. Just use what you got. It'll be sufficient. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we do need faith. Praise God. I'm going to talk about that here tonight, but let me just kind of go back over the foundation here today. Amen. We got into the book of Hebrews a little bit, began to understand the foundation of Hebrews a little bit last week. And we know and we talked about how that Hebrews is basically the New Testament version of the Old Testament. You got to be quick or you're not going to get it, because it took 30-something books in the Old Testament, and it takes just about 13 chapters in the book of Hebrews to expound the entire Old Testament. Now, I know that there's other prophetical books and such like that, but Hebrews is the New Testament version of the Old Testament. And it's just simply because it's just about completely occupied by doctrine. So definitely we are looking at the first five books of the Bible. The other question concerning Hebrews has always been, who wrote it? And I personally ascribe to Paul that Paul was more than likely the one that wrote it. The only other one that kind of intrigues me a little bit may be that Paul wrote it in the Hebrew, and that Luke would interpret it or translate it into the Greek, which where we get our English from. English is translated from the Greek, but possibly maybe that Luke would have translated it out of Hebrews or out of Paul's writing in the Hebrew language. Praise God. Nevertheless, we know that it is canonical. Amen. And it is divinely inspired of the Lord. The destination is clear, in that the writer is addressing the Hebrew Christians who were having issues converting from Judaism into Christianity. I think that the unique difference is that in James, that James was writing concerning the same issue. James is writing, talking, and trying to help the Hebrews that are converting over into Judaism, but it is on the opposite end of the spectrum because James is writing concerning a group of people that are leaving everything that they see into everything that they don't see. Everything goes, they've basically turned away and shut out the temple and shut out all of those other things and gotten away from that, and it's just faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. And they're the type swinging from the chandeliers and just having a good time, and James reaches over and grabs them, and he says, hey, hold on a second. He said, you can't just do things like that. You got to have a little bit of order in your life. You're going to have some law. You're going to have some concepts and precepts, and you're going to have some works. And he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And he said that faith without works is dead. And the writer of Hebrews is basically talking to the same people in a different perspective. They're kind of divided. You want to talk about a church split? They was kind of like that, because the ones that Paul is writing to in the Hebrews, he is talking to them that they are having a hard time letting go of the temple and everything that they see into a life of faith. And so Paul is saying, hey, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he was letting them know that Christianity was involved around the shadow, was involved around the substance of what the shadow was and what the Old Testament was referring it to be, the New Testament was. And so he gives this declaration and letting them know that the Levitical sacrifices really were just temporariness in temple service, and that they were to walk by faith and not by sight. Three different times, Paul is quoted in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 18, that the righteous by faith shall live, and he emphasized the righteous, living righteous, living right, doing right. And in Galatians, he spoke the same thing, that the righteous by faith shall live, and he emphasized faith, that you've got to have faith. But in Hebrews, he emphasizes talking about the life. The righteous by faith shall live. Amen. That is the way that it's got to be, by faith that we live. Praise God. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so this chapter, chapter number 11 in the book of Hebrews, it enables a man to be able to live, not merely to enter into the blessings of salvation, but to retain them from the beginning to the close of his earthly life. Praise God. Paul talking about this and getting into this, even from the previous chapter, and his talk there in chapter number 10, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But ye are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we began to look into Hebrews 11 and 1. And we see that little two-letter word becomes emphatic in this scripture here. And the Bible teaches us that faith is the substance. Amen. If faith is anything, it is. It is. There is something. And then it lets us know that it is the substance. And so the word emphatic is showing or giving emphasis. It is expressing something forcibly and clearly. And so it tells us and declares that faith is described in a twofold way. Amen. We know that the foundation of faith simply is the things that are hoped for. In the book of Romans, Paul talks to us about the things that are hoped for. And he said, amen, that hope that is seen is not hope. For why doth a man yet hope for the things which he sees? And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. The things that he cannot see. And then it is the conviction or the proof of things that are not seen. And the word rendered substance basically equates with the foundation. Amen. Faith is the substance. In other words, everything that we do from this point forward, we are building upon the foundation. Praise God. Thank God for the foundation. Amen. And that faith indicates that faith has got to have a basis. And we talked about amen, that the wise man would build his house upon a foundation, that he had enough faith in the rock, that if I build my house upon the rock, and when the storms come and the rains fall and the winds blow, that this house is going to stand. His faith was in the foundation or the substance of the rock. But Jesus said that the foolish man built his house and put his faith upon the substance of sand, built his house upon the sand, and great was the fall of it when the storms began to rage. And so he equated these foundations in stating that the rock is a foundation likened unto a man, that when he hears the word of God, he not only just hears it with his ears, but it sinks down into his spirit, and then he begins to be obedient unto the word of God. That is the foundation that he has. But the wise man, the foolish man's foundation, he is likened unto a man that when he has heard the word of God, even as James would say, that he looks into the mirror, seeing what manner of man that he is, and that he turns and goes his own way, forgetting what manner of man that he really is. And so the foundation is important. The foundation is the basis of it all with your walk with God. You've got to have a solid foundation, because I'm here to tell you tonight that the storms are going to come and the winds are going to blow. Amen. And the foundation is going to be tried. And so Paul writing here says that faith is the substance. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. Amen. Faith is that foundation. Amen. And we would have to read the remainder of chapter number 11 to begin to understand the substance of the foundation. And as we read it, we begin to understand that the foundation of it all is the word of God. Amen. The word of God. Every word of God the Bible teaches us is pure. And the word of God is forever settled in heaven. The writer would say that though the grass would wither and the flower would fade, the word of God shall stand forever. And though heaven and earth would pass away, the word of God, amen, shall stand forever. His word has been magnified even above his name. Praise God. We know that the word is likened unto a sharpened two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit. Hebrews 4 and 11. Amen. The Bible teaches us that the word of God is able to discern the thoughts and the intent of the heart. How does that preacher know what I'm thinking? How does that preacher know what's going on in my life? How does that preacher know what's been happening in my life this week? How does that preacher know what I've been talking about? How does that preacher know what I've been looking looking at. Amen. Many, many times the preacher does not know, but God knows, and the word of God begins to come forth from the mouth of the preacher. That is God's love, God's mercy reaching unto you. And if God can't get your attention that away, then somehow or another he's going to bring it to the attention of the preacher. Praise God. But his word is sharp. It is powerful. Amen. More powerful than any two-edged sword. Why is it, amen, likened unto that? Because every time I need something, I can find it in the word of God. I find faith in the word of God. I find hope in the word of God. I find direction in the word of God. I find ambition in the word of God. I find strength in the word of God. I find joy in the word of God. And the Bible said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's love him today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I've come to preach to somebody's faith here tonight. We need a resurrection of faith. Amen. And I want to get beyond just, amen, the believing part of it. I want to get beyond, amen, all of this. Because it's not a case of sincerity. It is not a case of belief. Amen. But of the truth of what is being believed. Every one of us believe that the word of God is true. We believe, amen, that every word of God is pure. But I want to know how you believe it when it's applied to your life. Amen. It's easy to believe it for somebody else, but I've come here tonight to tell you that God wants you to take this word and apply it to your life. I want you to know that God wants you to come out of the circumstance that you are in by your faith. Amen. God wants to help build your faith. God wants to resurrect your faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm putting the harness, I'm putting the reins on a little bit because, amen, I could jump ahead of myself of where I want to be tonight and then we're not going to get anywhere. Praise God. But let's look at this just a little bit deeper today. For the Bible teaches us many different things and we know that there are several different translations. Yea, there are extremely an enormous amount of translations and you got to be careful about which translations that you would go reading. And let me just state like this. We don't necessarily believe that the Bible is chained to the pulpit. You need to get the word of God in your heart. You need to get the word of God in your life. You need to know what the word of God says for yourself. Praise God. But Google is not your answer. And Siri is not your answer. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Those things are not your answer. Amen. The preached word of God is our answer. Praise God. One translation states that faith is the substance of things that we hope for, and it is the irrefutable proof of the invisible transactions. Faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. Amen. Faith means that we are convinced of what we do not see, and this indicates that faith gives substance or reality to our hopes, and it puts to the test the things which we do not see. The Amplified Version quotes it like this. Now, faith is the assurance or the confirmation. It is the title deed. Or as the Cowan Amplified Translation would say, you can take this to the bank. Amen. It is the title deed of things that we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed, amen, to the senses. Amen. Faith considers the impossibility already done. Amen. Faith gets beyond, amen, the way that man can believe or even begin to think, in that God can do
do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Praise God. And so that's what faith is. And so now we want to take a little bit of time and we want to dig into these remaining chapter, or the remaining verses here in chapter number 11. And so for the next 13 verses, we can talk about Abel and faith's worship. Amen. We could talk. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time talking about these individuals. I'm not going to spend time and dissect and do some type of exegetical drawing out of these verses and give parallels for today. Amen. There are just little concepts. There are little themes that are grouped into these verses that I'm going to talk about here tonight. And so we could talk about Abel and faith's worship, of how that he worshiped by faith and by the offering of the blood of a lamb. And we could talk about faith's witness concerning Enoch. And we could talk about faith working through Noah. We could talk about Abraham's walk of faith, and Abraham in faith waiting for the promise, and faith's willingness in Sarah, amen, that she continued to have faith. Now, when we get to verse number 13, I'm going to touch this just a little bit more. But when we get to verse number 13, I want you to recognize the first words that are pinned there at verse number 13. Because we can talk about faith in Abel, and we know all of that, and we know about Enoch, and how that the Lord just come and took him out, and he was not. And we know the faith of Noah and Abraham and even Sarah. But I want you to realize and think about this here in verse number 13. It said, these all. How many is all? That's every one of them. We just talked about several people that are listed in Faith's Hall of Fame. Every one of those have got a place in Faith's Hall of Fame. But the next clause following all of this says, these all died in the faith. Now, look at what it says next. Not having received the promises. They didn't receive the promise. They didn't receive the promise. He said, but having seen them afar off, but nevertheless they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they themselves were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were so certain of God and the spiritual realities that had been promised by God that their desires were directed towards a better country. In verse number 16, he said, but now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so in these 13 verses, after we come out of the initial declaration or definition of the book of Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, we see that the manifestation in these three verses is simply the manifestation of faith. They had faith in spite of what they were facing. They had faith. Abel had faith, amen, without having understanding. He did not understand what it was about the sacrifice having blood that was going to be accepted, amen, but his faith was manifested every time that he offered sacrifice unto God. Amen. We could talk about Noah and his faith that he had. Amen. That was working through Noah. And Noah not understanding what a storm was. And not understanding what a boat was. And not understanding what rain and what floods were. Amen. But he had faith in God. And he just built according to the plan of God. I've often thought about this before. And I've thought, amen, I wonder how that Noah knew how to build an ark. I understand there's a lot that's in between the lines somewhere. And that the Lord spoke unto Noah and he said, I want you to build me an ark. Amen. But I've worked with numerous even journeyman framers. And that when you begin to explain to them something, they just cannot see it. And so I would take them back to the blueprints. And I would open the blueprints up and I would begin to explain to them. Now this is the cut of it. And this is what it's got to look like. And even one time I was working with one of my lead men. And we were building a very, very exquisite design, the picture just was not doing it justice, and we were trying to figure it out, and there we were studying, amen, we had dimensions and stuff, but we couldn't really see how the angles, how that they were falling back into each other, and so we were studying and staring at that, and I was just wondering to myself, what did Noah have, amen, to stare at? What did Noah have, amen, to turn pages of and to look at the different cuts and the different designs of it. Oh, but there was something that got into Noah's mind. There was something that he could see that was not seen. Amen. There was something, amen, that was substance, but it was yet hoped for. Amen. He had probably helped and liked to have a set of blueprints. Amen. But his faith was the substance of things not seen. Amen. The evidence of things not seen. Seeing the substance of things just hoped for. Amen. But I just got a feeling that he stayed close enough to God that in the process, when he was doing something, he just felt the unction of the Spirit as began to say, amen, the feelings of God, the mind of God was known. Amen. Maybe he heard that. And then Noah said, I just don't feel good about that. Amen. Maybe he just felt the direction of the eyes of God. As God began to direct him with his eye. But there was something, amen, that caused Noah to manifest faith through all of this. Abraham's walk with God, born into a heathen family. But God moved upon him and said, Abraham, if you'll get out of here, I'll give you everything that your eyes lay upon. Amen. No promise other than the voice of God. No signed declaration. Amen. No signature on a contract. But by faith, he began to walk. By faith, he waited. By faith, amen, he reached. And even Sarah in her old age, amen, had faith that the promise would come through her. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, I wish that I could do this a little bit of justice here tonight. But you understand that faith is probably one of the hardest things. And at times it can be the easiest thing to preach on. Because there is nothing that I can point at. There is nothing, amen, that I can declare and say, this is it. Amen, because that's hope. Amen, why do we yet hope for the things which we see? Amen, for hope that is seen is not hope. Amen, it's amen, it's the invisible. It's the invisible. That's what faith is. And all of a sudden, when it becomes tangible, when it becomes thus, when it becomes the fact, there's no need to have faith in it. It has transpired, and faith begins to be the invisible things again. I'm talking to you tonight about the invisible things in your life. I'm talking to you tonight about the things in your life that seem to be adversity. That seemed to be a mountain in your life. Somewhere or another, you got to be able to stand up and say, even though the mountain is large, and even though I'm older now than what I was back then, I am still declaring this day, give me this mountain. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen, Caleb, what possesses you to think that at 80 years of age you are going to be able to conquer a mountain? I've got faith in the Almighty. I've got faith. How do you know, Caleb? Because God came and told me that it's mine. That is when it's already. I can stand up and say, I am ready now. God said it was mine, and it's mine. Standing on the Word of God in spite of. The manifestation of faith requires that there first be the manifestation of a problem. Amen. There is no need of faith if there is no adversity. Amen. Praise God. There has got to be an issue. Amen. Can I say it like this? There almost has to be an impossibility, because as long as you can keep your hand upon the plow, as long as you can keep your hand, amen, upon the stern, as long as you can keep your hand upon the wheel, it's not faith, because God said, amen, he's got to die. Lazarus has got to die, lest some doctor would say, I told you that he could get better, unless a doctor somewhere would say, amen, this isn't as rough as it looks to be, and a little bit of medicine will fix the problem. But Jesus said, amen, the possible has got to become an impossibility in order for faith to step on the scene. Lazarus has got to die so that the Son of Man can receive the glory. Rather than looking at our issue, rather than looking at our impossibility as things set to complicate our lives, let us change our perception. Amen. Let us change our perception. God. Amen. Because life happens. Life happens. And life isn't fair. Life has all kinds of turns in the road. Life has all kinds of choices and decisions that we've got to make on a day-by-day basis. And to be honest, many of us, and say, you know what? And some of us, maybe even this week, I wish I could just go back and just change my decision just a little bit. And maybe even back into 2022 and say, you know what, if I could just go back there and just do a few things different in 2020, and back when I was in my 30s, if I'd have just made a little different decision. Back if I was, you know, 27 years old, if I'd have just made a different decision, man, things wouldn't be like they are. Amen. And the perception is there. And the impossibility begins to happen. And life begins to dictate, amen, you and who you are, and defining who you are, and such. And the impossibilities begin to mount up. And the problems begin to pile up. And before you know it, you're looking at a mountain. Let me just preach here for a little while. Amen. Today, because I'm preaching to humans here tonight. I'm preaching to every one of us. Amen. That have got some regrets somewhere back in our life. And we often think about what our life would be like if we had made a different decision here at this era of in the road. If we would have changed some things out in this place. And now you've got regrets that are piling up in your life. And things are happening, and some of the choices that you made, or some of the choices that your loved ones made, it was easy to pray for them at a certain time, but now choices are weaving themselves into their lives and causing them to be woven into the fabrics, into the fiber of the world, deeper and deeper, and things are happening. It's getting harder and harder, and the mountain is growing to a place. And here is faith sitting over here on the sideline, amen, just waiting for you to call, waiting for you to stand up. I just got a question for you tonight. Amen. Has your prayer become insurmountable? Amen. Has your request request, amen, become impossible now? Amen. Is there a place in your life that you have gotten to that you say, well, that's that, and I can do nothing about it any longer? Amen. You're the one that I'm talking to tonight. Amen. Faith has got to have the manifestation of about it. The adversity has got to happen. You say, why? The Bible teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants to show off in our life. God wants to be real in our life. God wants to be big in our lives. Amen, amen, amen. And oftentimes when the problems come and they begin to mount up, amen, we begin to crumble. And we begin to give in to the circumstances, and we begin to give in to the pressures of it all. And amen, as all of these things begin to add up and begin to weigh down on us, we begin to sit down and begin to falter, and we're not happy, and we're not running 90 miles an hour anymore. And this is oftentimes the way that faith is. But you know, when these things begin to happen, I just feel led to tell somebody this here tonight, that when these things begin to happen in your life, amen, instead of getting depressed, instead of sitting back, instead of just saying, well, amen. What faith does, faith shows up, faith stands up, and faith declares, you know what, it's fixing to get real in here. It's fixing to get real in here because God's fixing to step in. Amen. God couldn't step in as long as I had my hands in it, but now it's beyond my control. It's beyond anything that I can do. Amen. But I know what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Amen. God is getting ready to step in on the scene right here. Amen. The presence of God is getting ready, amen, to walk on water right here. Amen. Something good is getting ready to happen. The impossibilities are getting ready, amen, to disappear because God is going to show up.
Amen. Let's look down a little bit further. In light of the probabilities, the improbabilities, and in light of the perils, we see that faith is going to shine forth in the next 12 verses of Scripture. We see that Abraham offers, we see this in Abraham offering up Isaac, in that Abraham knew that God was able to raise him from the dead. God was able to raise him up. We see this in Isaac blessing Esau, Jacob, Esau and Jacob. We see Jacob blessing both of Joseph's sons while leaning on a staff. And we see that Joseph gave command of his bones, don't leave me in Egypt. Now, what I want to point out is that these three men are at the closing days of their life, and yet their hearts were full of expectation, and their faith was indeed the substance of things hoped for. You understand, they're basically saying, this is out of my hands. This is out of my hands. There's nothing that I can do about it. And Isaac is dim in his eyesight, and all of this. And he blesses Jacob and he blesses Esau. There's nothing more that I can do. It's out of my hands. And Jacob, leaning on his staff, and he's dim in his eyes, and he reaches forth and crosses his hands and puts one hand on Ephraim and the other on Manasseh. And Joseph says, no, Dad, it's supposed to. He said, oh, no. I know what the law says. I know what all that says, but there's some things that I don't understand going on right now. And God says that the younger is going to be greater than the older. How can that be? I don't understand. It's just faith here right now. That's just the way that is. He was on his deathbed. The Bible said that when it was all said and done, he gave up the ghost and he died. And then here is Joseph, and he is dying, and he reaches out and he grabs a hold of somebody. He says, and oh, by the way, don't leave my bones in Egypt. And that was faith. That was faith. Somebody could have said, you know what, he's dead. Who cares? What does his thoughts matter for now? But you go back into the book and you begin to read, and you'll see that on their exodus out of the land of Egypt, somebody stopped.
went back and said, hold on, wait a second. Joseph said, don't leave his bones in Egypt. By faith, Joseph declared this to be. You do this. By faith, amen. He asked for it to happen. And so we see that the determination of faith is there. That faith will not be deterred. Amen. Determination is, it has got to be in your faith. We would see that here that Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's commandment, but had simple and strong confidence in God. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, knowing the repercussions that were going to come. Moses would show forth faith's vision, seeing through the temporal things. He would show forth faith's value, chosen and choose the things of God. And he would delight in faith's victory, in that he overcame the glories of Egypt. And so faith has got to be exercised. It has got to shine in spite of the improbabilities of life and perils of life. Amen. That is what true faith is all about. Amen. Faith ignores the facts. Faith ignores that you're on your deathbed. Faith ignores, amen, the reality of things. And faith says, in spite of what is being seen right now, I choose to believe in the unseen. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know, for you don't have faith yet. Hallelujah, preacher, you don't know everything that's going on in my life. This is where faith would be a good time to step into your life. Amen. Faith manifests itself, but faith is not going to be deterred. Faith, amen, is determined in all things. Faith cannot be deterred by a king's word. Faith cannot be deterred, amen, by crocodiles in a river somewhere. Faith cannot be deterred, amen, by a Pharaoh's daughter and the love of riches and stuff. Faith is saying, I'm setting my feet on this course and I'm going to walk. Amen. Some people may say you're ignorant. Amen. You're wild in your imaginations and thought. But faith wants to walk the impossible walk. I'm here today to tell you, amen, that's the determination that you got to have, that no matter the circumstances, no matter the realities, no matter what they said, I don't care if they said I'll never go to that church. Faith stands up and says, I'm going to keep praying for you. And one of these days, you're coming through those gates. You're coming through those doors. And you're coming to an altar. I don't care what reality says. Praise God. The doctors say, you'll never walk again. You'll never do this again. And faith says, I refuse to accept that answer. I'm going to continue to believe it. Going to continue to believe it. Praise God. Be seated. One time I got acquainted with Brother Paul Ogle. And you know he's paralyzed. And I was at his church one time. And I saw him, and he had a regular pulpit like this, and then there's a music stand sitting over here to the right, and here he is, a preacher of the gospel, and he can't get behind the pulpit because he's in a wheelchair. And so here he is, a preacher of the gospel, and he has a music stand, and he lays it down, he puts his Bible up there, and he puts his notes up there, and he's trying to preach from there. And I got to talking to him one time, and he said, you know, he said, I'm always believing that one of these days, he said, I'm going to walk again. He said, I believe it. I'm going to walk again. And he said, there's days that I can feel tingling in my toes. And he said, I wake up and try to move my legs, always. He said, I try to do something. He said, one of these days, it's just going to happen. That's determination, faith. And so we designed him a pulpit, and we built him a pulpit that sits down on the floor, and it actually raises up and down. And so I took it to him, and he told me, he said, well, you're going to preach in it.
And so I preached in it, and I had it up, and then when he preaches in it, he just raises it down. And he just wheels himself right into it, and it's just like he's preaching from a regular pulpit. And so anyways, we gave it to him, and he was truly excited, and we were truly excited. And he said, I just feel like I got my ministry back. And that just did my heart good, and I was so happy about it and excited about it and such like that. But even then, he says, but one of these days I'm not going to need this. So one of these days I'm going to be able to stand. One of these days I'm going to walk again. Amen. Praise God. That's the determination that you've got to have. Amen. That it doesn't matter what the doctor said, what the lawyer says, what anybody says. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter if they look at you and say, you're the most crazy person I've ever met in my entire life. I will never be an apostolic. You still come to the church and you still find that place to pray. And you say, God, I'm believing that you're going to save them. I'm believing that they could come today. That's what faith does. That's the type of faith that God wants this church to have. God wants this church to have that type of determined faith. Amen. I'll just tell you that there are times, amen, that when you look out over the congregation and you've got 11 to 15 or 20 people that are absent and stuff, and you think to yourself, man, are we ever going to get past this? And, you know, it'd be easy just to lay off, and it'd be easy just to let service go by and stuff. And then you just think, but is that pleasing God? Amen. Praise God. You know what faith does in spite of all this? Faith turns around and looks at empty pews, and faith says, oh, there's an opportunity for revival. Faith looks at the empty, amen, the empty seat right next to you, and faith says, amen, here's an opportunity for a home Bible study. Here's an opportunity for a loved one, amen, to sit right here beside me. I don't care if they said they'll never come. I don't care if they say, amen, it'll never happen. I don't care if they say, amen, that'll happen when hell freezes over. Amen, I've got faith in God. Amen. And you cannot have faith in God and you stop praying about all of this. Amen. You got to continue to have faith. You got to be able to envision the impossible. You got to be able to envision them sitting right beside you. You got to be able to envision them, amen, in the church. You got to be able to envision the church filled to capacity. That's the determination that faith has got to possess. Yeah, you don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, today I think I'm just going to have faith. No, it don't happen that way. You don't wake up one day and just say, well, today's going to be different. I'm going to have faith. Faith is born in a prayer meeting. Last night we was here at the church and we were praying and seeking God and prayer meeting and such, and we still need to turn the heat up on those things. And here we are, we're up here praying at prayer meeting and stuff, and I'm praying, I'm seeking God, and then all of a sudden it's just like, instantly it was right there, and I was like, oh God, I see it. I see this church filled full of new converts. And then even today while I was praying, it just got all over me again. I just looked around and I said, oh God, all the young people, all the young new converts in here and the families that are in here, and they're praying, they're seeking God, and they don't even know what to do. And they're looking around, looking at saints, trying to figure out how that they're supposed to worship and what's going on. And they feel so exuberant and such. That's what faith has got to be. Faith doesn't look at an empty pew, but faith sees it as an opportunity for somebody else to come and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, the rapture hasn't happened yet. That ought to tell somebody, I've got faith that God will still come. I got faith. You say, well, it's getting close. Faith says, I'm not going to be deterred by the signs of the time. I'm not going to be deterred by the facts that are happening elsewhere. I still have faith that in time they're going to come and they're going to be saved. Praise God. Amen. Now, let me finish this off here tonight. There is the manifestation of faith. And then there is the determination of faith. And it would be with great error to not talk about the difficulties of faith. There are difficulties. For we would read in the next several verses, and we could see that faith conquered the Red Sea. I want you to think about that. We see the glory of the Red Sea parting and the children of Israel walking across. That's what we see. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is standing at the Red Sea and having no option, and the Egyptians in hot pursuit behind you, and they're getting ready to kill you or to take you back to Egypt, and there are no options. That's where faith steps in. And faith rolls the impossible back. Faith rolls the Red Sea back. But there's got to be a Red Sea. Not the Red Brook. Not the Red Creek. It's got to be an impossibility. And I remember sitting in history class my sophomore year. And we were talking about world history. And we got into this. We got into Moses. And we got to where Moses crossed the Red Sea. And one of our good old Catholic boys, he perked up and came awake. He had been sleeping, I guess, up until then. And all of a sudden, he came awake. And he's like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. Hold on. Do what? And the teacher's like, where have you been, man? You don't know? You don't know the story, that Bible story of where God rolled the waters back so that the children of Israel could walk through on dry land? And this young man, he looked at the teacher. He said, are you kidding? He's like, no, I'm not kidding. And all of us Christian people, we were just like, he hasn't heard the story? And somebody says, oh, he hasn't been to Sunday school. And here he was. You telling me that they walked through? He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said, oh, it must have been a shallow place. Shallow place. And they said, it doesn't matter if it was shallow or not. They walked through. And if it was shallow, then the big miracle is that God drowned all of the Egyptians with shallow water. But what I'm trying to get to you tonight is that faith was not there until there was a Red Sea. There had to be the walls of Jericho before faith came into play. Faith, the Bible teaches us, subdued kingdoms. But kingdoms had to be there first. Faith, amen, wrought righteousness. Obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. In all of these circumstances, adversity had to be there before faith came in. In Hebrews 11 and 35, I want you to read here that the Bible says that women receive their dead raised to life again. We don't have to stop there long, but what I am saying is that before somebody can be raised from the dead, somebody's got to die first. We can say, oh, I want to see miracles, but before there can be a miracle, there's got to be a problem. Somebody wants to see the dead raised, but nobody wants to be the one to die. Everybody wants to see the dead raised, but we don't want to see my family member die. I just hope it's somebody else. But faith isn't a respecter of person.
I'm just simply saying here tonight that amen, that we can scream and shout and holler all day and say, oh, we want to see miracles. We want to see cancer healed. We want to see the lame to walk. Before the lame can walk, there's got to be somebody that's lame. Women received their dead raised to life. Others were tortured. Oh, no. If he's really God, he's not going to allow him to be tortured. No, this is faith being determined. Faith is not deterred by anything. He said others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Listen to this. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And I stop right there. Amen. Because this is where, amen, we can talk about that they did not receive the promise. But friend, they continued to have faith. That's where our faith has got to be invested and secured in the Lord. Amen. We've got to say, look, until this person draws their last breath and until they are put in that casket and lower down into the ground, I'm going to continue to pray and I'm going to continue to believe God that one of these days they're going to come in and they're going to find a place of repentance and they're going to be saved. Don't ever get to this place saying, well, I don't guess they'll ever be saved. That's not pleasing to God. Amen. God wants you to be pleasing and God wants you to have faith. Amen. And God wants you to stand in the face of adversity and say, I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what the reality is. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what the facts are. I don't care about it. I am believing God for a miracle. Amen. When the doctors say, amen, that they'll never recover. They'll never come out of it. They'll never be like they used to be. I refuse to accept that report. I'm going to believe, amen, that it's going to come to pass. I'm going to believe, amen, that there's going to be a miracle. I'm going to believe that God's going to do the impossible. And when the devil wags his finger at you and says, ha, 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 it never happened. Amen. I just want you to know that faith cannot be deterred. I'm going to continue to have faith. I'm going to continue to believe. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And if I never see it, I'm going to continue to believe that this day might be the day. I'm going to continue to believe in revival. I'm going to continue to pray for revival. I'm going to continue to press for revival. And if somebody says, I don't want it any longer, and they walk out of the house of God, I still gotta believe that God is gonna give revival. Faith will never give up. Faith continues to the end. Let's stand here tonight. And so this chapter tells us how that faith accomplishes results. And the answer is that it is due solely to the fact that God is the object of faith. God is the object of faith. You will build your faith if you'll stay in His Word. Some many, many years ago, we used to sing a song. It said, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine. How do you know what the promises of God are if you don't know what's in the book? But when you get into His book, you begin to read about who He is. And we come to the realization that it's not
do we believe, but rather it's in whom do we believe. And when the answer is God, then I submit to you tonight that anything is possible. Everything is possible. Everything is possible. You say, preacher, well, I think it would be a little bit improbable to say that by the end of this weekend that this church will be filled to capacity. Oh, really? I read in the book of Acts chapter number 2 that the day of Pentecost, 3,120 got the Holy Ghost. I don't think that this church could hold 3,120. And I read that multitudes receive the Holy Ghost. I don't think that this church could hold multitudes. I read in another place where it said like 5,000 believed on the Lord. Do you realize that two services of 5,000, we'd pray through the whole city of Augusta? So don't tell me what's possible and what's impossible. Because with God, nothing is impossible. But you've got to have your faith established in the Word of God. And when you get in the Word of God, you say, oh, but pastor, they're so religious. They're so indoctrinated and they're so involved in their church. So were all the Hebrews. They were fasting twice a week, praying 2 and 3 times a day. Paying tithe, giving alms. They were doing all kinds of things till the Holy Ghost came. And when the Holy Ghost came, the Bible said that those religious people had come for the Feast of Pentecost. And here they were in their devoutness. And when they heard Peter preach the message, those religious people looked at Peter and said, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter told those religious people that they needed to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Our faith has got to be built upon the Word of God. Another old song said, if Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains been removed and cast into the sea, God's word will stand forever throughout eternity. Amen. Somebody used to have an old bumper sticker that they put on the back of the cars that said, Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I don't think he needed me to believe it to settle it. Jesus said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Because with God, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what I think our problem is sometimes? I think we approach, and I understand respect, but sometimes I think we approach the throne in timidness. I think we should approach the throne in reverence rather than in timidity. Oh God, please, you know, if it would happen to please you, would you do this? And if not, then that's okay. And last week I got to pray, and I'm just saying this for your faith. Last week I got to pray, and we had a situation, my wife and her job and stuff, and situation that was going on, and I just got to pray, and I said, God, I said, I am praying that by the end of Friday, this will be taken care of. By the end of Friday, it could be done. I prayed it Monday. I prayed it Tuesday. I prayed it Wednesday. I prayed it Thursday. I prayed it Friday. God, by the end of the day, by the end of the day, I know what the facts are. But by the end of the day, I'm praying, God, that you'll have already settled this. 2:30 in the afternoon, my wife gets a phone call. It's settled. Praise God. Praise God. Pray in faith believing. In faith believing. You say, but what if God doesn't do it? But what if God does do it? Why do we have to major on the negative? Well, I'm just afraid to say it because what if God doesn't do it? But what if He does do it? I'm reminded of the prayer meeting. I'm reminded of the prayer meeting at the house when Peter was in jail. And what are they praying? Oh, God, give Peter a miracle. God, bring him out of the jail. Oh, God, we believe you can do it. Who's at the door? It's Peter. Uh-uh. Stop lying. Look, we don't joke about things like that. No, really, it is. It's Peter. Oh, my goodness. So shocked when God answers prayer. And here he is. And Jesus says, if a child were to ask his dad for a piece of bread, would he give him a snake? How much more would your heavenly Father, desiring to do good things for you, would give you the desires of the heart? David said, amen, delight yourself in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Instead of stepping back and saying, maybe God, pretty please, you know, if it would please you. If not, I understand. But, yeah, no. Let's just declare it. Let's just declare it. Somebody says, oh, yeah, preacher, what would you have done if on Friday would have come and gone, it wouldn't have been answered? Then what would you have done? I'd have started asking for this Friday. But you see, that's the way that the devil plays. Because the devil wants you to stop praying. Stop praying. I'm here to tell you tonight, pray in spite of. Well, I've already been praying. I asked God to do it by this stuff. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. It'll happen. It'll happen. Amen. Praise God. Do I have any believers here tonight? Anybody believing tonight? Anybody ready to step out of your pew and say, oh yeah, God, I believe it tonight. I believe it. I believe it. Oh, no, 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 no. It's not Sunday night. We can't do this on a Wednesday night. Tonight's just Bible study. No, no. I want to know about tonight. Do I have any believers in the house? Do I have anybody that's willing to step out and say, all right, God, I know the circumstance. I know the situation. I know everything there is to know about it. I know from A to Z. And you know all about it too, God. And the situation states thus and thus. But I am praying and I am believing that you're going to turn it all around. I'm praying and I'm believing that things are going to change. That things are going to happen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on. Somebody's believing right now. Somebody join in with them. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Go ahead. Go ahead. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. I don't care what they've said. They said, I'll never. Amen. You never until you got a hold of God, until God got a hold of you. Amen. You're going to change your song and dance. God, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost led here today. Somebody needs to declare it in Jesus' name. Amen, that little timid prayer that you've been praying here and there. Amen, I want you to declare it with boldness. Amen, I want you to declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, in Jesus' name, I'm declaring it to be so. Come on, let the witness of the Holy Ghost touch you. You feel the unction of the Spirit as it's moving on you right now. Amen. The Holy Ghost is beckoning you. Come on, come on, come on. Just speak it. Just speak it. Just speak it. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm so far out of my realm right now. I don't ever get to the place that I preach like this, but I'm telling you right now, somebody needs to put words to the prayer. Somebody needs to speak it into existence. Somebody needs to put it, amen, into the heavenlies right now. Instead of just thinking that prayer, instead of just hoping that prayer, instead of just wishing, amen, that somehow, maybe, possibly, could it be, just go ahead and speak it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, God wants to exercise your faith right now. God wants to give you a testimony right now. Amen. God wants to bring it to pass. God wants to show up and show out in your life right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let God, let God, let God, let God reach out to Him. Respond to Him. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to know about the nevers. Amen. They'll never. That's what I want to know about. It'll never. That's what I want to know about. Amen. The nevers, because the nevers represent the impossibility. And the impossibilities is where faith wants to show off. Oh, yes, 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 Jesus. Amen. That one that you think that'll never show up. Amen. Put faith upon it. Hallelujah. Ask in faith, believing, and it shall be done. I want you to stop thinking about what if it doesn't happen. I want you to start thinking about what if it does happen. What kind of joy is going to take place when it does happen? What kind of excitement's going to build when it does happen? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I rebuke doubt in the name of Jesus Christ. Let faith arise in this house.